Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Podcast.
Antiques.
For you.
What antiques are we talking about today?
We're going to go folksy. We're going to go old-timey. We're going to talk about spongeware and spatterware.
Sponge and spatter?
Sponge and spatter. And I'll explain why we're doing both at once.
Okay.
In a minute.
Just a second.
Well, okay. So I'll start there. You know what? You've won me over. I'll explain. For a really long time, and even now, a lot of people consider spongeware and spatterware to be interchangeable. There's a common myth that spatterware is actually the American word for spongeware. Incorrect. If you've heard this, you have heard stupid. And it's... Spongeware and spatterware are actually two really distinct techniques for a similar kind of decoration. So, spongeware is a piece of stoneware or earthenware, almost always for strictly utilitarian purposes, that's decorated by sponging on an organic random pattern. Spatterware, very similarly, is stoneware or earthenware that's decorated by loading a pipe with pigment and blowing it into areas for decoration.
Spattering the paint on.
There's a third type, stick spongeware, which often gets miscategorized as spatterware, but is most likely a unique third category, which is basically just a stamp made from a sponge.
Where does the stick come in?
They put the sponge on the stick and stamp it in patterns.
Mm.
You've probably seen spongeware. It looks like pottery that has had a blue sponge daubed all over it.
I thought that was gonna stop at it looks like pottery.
It looks like pottery. Everything else, you're on your fucking own. Why did you even listen? What did you think I was gonna tell you? It was made in factories largely, almost strictly, in the Staffordshire area, like all pottery, birthed from that cradle. Although, it's been attributed to Glasgow, Scotland.
Alright.
So I just wanted to, shout out to the Scottish, no one forgot you.
Never forget.
And later, the Americans would adopt spongeware for themselves. Spongeware is almost always abstract shapes, rarely around a simple design, and it's purposely created to look like folk art or rustic art. But mostly what it's made for is to make something less boring on the cheap.
Make this less of a chore to look at.
Yeah, exactly. sometimes they have, like I said, sometimes they have stamps or motifs. Sometimes they have concentric bands of the same color as the sponging. But like I said, most of it is just to make attractive pieces of utilitarian pottery at a low price. This is more or less the same as spatterware. Again, spatterware is different. It's a pipe loaded with pigment that's blown onto the piece. These tend to be tighter and more dense than spongeware. They look way more like stippling, and they tend to be way more colorful, and almost always surround some kind of central design or stamp or painting. They were common from 1800 to 1850 concurrent with spongeware, but they kind of fell out of favor because it turns out spongeware was just plain old faster to do, and people got sick of trying to make it. All of these forms of sponge spatterware became incredibly popular with the Pennsylvania Dutch. I can't imagine why.
'Tis a gift to be simple.
Spongeware is considered like a classic American antique, and maybe that's fair if you are of the opinion that the Americans did it best. I think there are a lot of people out there who think the Pennsylvania Dutch did it, but mostly they were buying English exports, and then later making their own pottery in the same fashion, based on the charming folksy designs. Pennsylvania Dutch are committing art theft. If you follow Martha Stewart, you've definitely seen this.
Is it the only thing she uses other than jadeite?
Well, no, she actually is a pretty big proponent of yellowware, so I don't want to, cast aspersions.
I'm gonna go ahead and cast aspersions.
She uses a lot of spongeware. If I'm not incorrect, she had her own line of spongeware. Big surprise.
Hashtag
thanks
Martha.
And it's become sort of this, omnipresent image of the, quaint rustic American kitchen. Which I still think is funny because it's a quintessentially English thing, so. What king do you bow to now? that's kind of it for its origin story. There's really not a lot to it. It's just, we needed a cheap, easy way to make decorations, and we found it. It was a sponge. The solution was a sponge. Some things to look out for. Do you want to hear about different kinds?
Hell yeah.
All right. For spongeware, the most common color is blue.
Dubba-dee-dubba-dye.
Blue, its house with its blue little windows.
And its blue sponge paint.
And everything is blue, except for the pottery, which is cream. You can find other colors, rarely red, from Europe. And in America, they trended towards green more often. But pretty much you're looking at blue is very common. Anything other than blue tends to become very collectible. You almost never find a piece that is less utilitarian. This is a weird line to walk because there's a lot of debate about what makes a utilitarian piece. Some people actually argue that the teacup is not a utilitarian piece because you do not need tea to live.
Strong disagree.
Whereas a chamber pot is you do need somewhere to pee.
Okay, but like, I have a toilet for that.
Yes, well, we're talking from the smug frontery of the future where we have toilets.
Toilet privilege?
Yeah, in a city. So like... like all of these, they're rarely marked. So yeah, like none of them are marked because, again, the primary use of these was to put something out quickly and cheaply. So why would you take time marking it? Because it was for the poor people, the proles. Some of the spongeware, actually, there is some question as to whether it is all strictly applied by sponge. If this is important to you, the only thing to look out for is overlapping patterns because they might have been transfer sheets. Why you would spend the time making a transfer sheet to look like a sloppily applied sponge is so beyond me that I don't even want to qualify its existence, but I've heard from multiple sources it's possible.
That seems like a lot of work.
Right? But there are some people who say they have pieces that have these regularly overlapping bits that really suggest it was a sheet of paper.
Like poorly applied wallpaper?
Yeah. So that would be what you look out for that. As for spatterware, spatterware tends to be way more, like I said, colorful. Again, color's super important if you're into spatterware and what you're looking at. Red and blue are the most common, followed by purple, brown, and green. And yellow and black are the rarest colors. I don't know why you'd introduce black. The whole charm of these is because they're colorful.
Goth.
Almost all of them feature a central hand-painted image of more or less exactly what the pattern says. For example, castle, fort, peafowl, rainbow, rooster, rose, thistle, and schoolhouse.
I want castle spatter.
Castle is a nice one. Rainbow is actually one of the most valuable. That is just concentric rings of all of the colors they had. And as for stick spongeware, which I know I said earlier we weren't going to talk about, but hey, let's cover it real quick. They don't look like spongeware. I've seen a bunch of examples of stick spongeware, and I would never visually lump them in with the other two. I can see how the other two get swapped and crisscrossed, but I don't understand this one because they tend to be formal, representational images akin to fine china. They don't look like loose folk art. They look like someone who's trying to graduate from loose folk art to fine art.
Someone who majored in loose folk art at RISD?
Yeah, yeah. There's a formality to them that I can never get past. But they are technically a part of this family, and so we will begrudgingly mention their name in the will. So now that you know about the charming folksy spongeware, you want to know about repros, which I hinted at earlier.
Yes.
Good luck.
Are Martha Stewart's at least branded Martha Stewart?
Martha Stewart's are, yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of the devil herself, I watched a video of Martha Stewart consulting with with America's foremost expert in sponge and spatterware. And man, did he get pedantic as to what the meaning of reproduction means.
Oh yeah?
So according to him, there are no reproductions of spongeware, just contemporary pieces.
Okay. I mean, sure. Technically, yes.
Technically, by that, there are no such things as reproductions, period. Just contemporary versions of pieces.
Is he Michel Foucault?
He might be Foucault. And for that, I will dropkick him. I didn't get the chance with Foucault, but goddammit, I'll get my chance now. So, you know, if you're inclined to think that I'm not of that school, I think that they are reproductions. The number one thing to look out for is Bennington pottery.
Bennington,
these
really?
Are usually marked, and Bennington has been making all sorts of examples of current-made spongeware, which is distinct from a reproduction.
Thank you.
So says fusty old Martha Stewart's best friend.
Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg. He said that for Rizzle.
I don't...
Never make me say that again.
I don't believe you. I think you're lying.
So as with a lot of pottery pieces, especially utilitarian pottery pieces, you are in for a world of hurt trying to figure this out. This is going to be a case of you're going to have to get really comfortable with telling old pottery in general. You know, and maybe you've heard this from us before, if you've listened before, if you haven't. We're talking about stuff like the weight. Especially American pottery. Old American pottery has a heft that seems outsized to its size. And American pottery is almost always heavier on the bottom for some reason.
I'm going to call that reason gravity.
No.
Okay.
I didn't mean that the forces of nature pull at the bottom more strongly.
Well, my...
It's that they are built up more thickly than other pottery forms.
My theory was that gravity would force the pottery to be denser towards the bottom of its structure. But it occurs to me that gravity might not act that quickly and that strongly upon such a small piece.
It really doesn't. It's okay. A deliberate choice made by American potters. You also want to look for things like irregular crazing. If you're not new to this rodeo, you know that regular crazing is a bad sign because crazing can be faked, both during the manufacturing process and after. But with some practice, you can tell it apart because all things antique and old have elements of mistake and accident to them, and any forced crazing is going to be uniform.
Crazing being a crackling pattern under the glaze.
Thank you. I always forget to mention that. You also want to look for wear. Wear circles on the bottom. If it's a usable piece, wear, like, you're actually looking for, like, fork and knife wear on bowls. Scratches. The bottom is really important because it wears down based on being picked up and placed on tables multiple times. Again, you're going to have to develop an eye for that, but it's pretty easy to see it when you see it. You also want to look for either an unglazed bottom, which is more common for old pieces, or if the bottom is glazed, you can check for 3 triangularly positioned pinholes.
Oh.
Which is how they used to dry glaze on bottom glazed pieces in the olden days. Before racks and complicated ovens that we have now.
That's very clever.
Yes. So you can check for that. The material is really important. A lot of places don't make the fake spongeware out of stoneware or earthenware. Stoneware is quintessentially the American one. Earthenware, you're talking older English pieces, so you might be on the lookout for that. But both stoneware and earthenware are a really specifically kind of dense, heavy, strong pottery. Especially stoneware for the obvious reasons we named it that. But they have a really distinct buff or gray for stoneware, or a nice cream white for earthenware. If you start seeing other things or the density and weight doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel strong, it doesn't feel made for a kitchen for everyday use, you should be suspect. Again, like I said, lack of uniformity, especially in the sponging or spattering patterns, that would suggest that it's real. It is almost impossible to reproduce these things without accidentally putting a little too much perfection in it with the way we have to make things now. With spongeware, you see places where the sponge missed, smudges, smears, overlaps, the mark of the human hand, which will probably be absent on anything that's being machined. And even then, I find that the mistakes look like a machine made them.
They are regularly spaced, repeated mistakes?
Yeah, exactly. If there's no marking, and there won't be, I did find a really absolutely great resource that helps point you in the direction of certain makers, but based on the color of the clay.
Oh.
It's really exhaustive. It's really cool. It's cagunc.com/art-american-pottery. They have an exhaustive list of what makers use, what kinds of clay, and what to expect from them. And it can be really helpful in pointing you in a direction if you're lost on a piece of pottery. You gotta look out because the Rose Peafowl and Schoolhouse Spatter designs are also currently being reproduced.
Oh no.
Because they are the most expensive. Natch. And, that's it. For real. Just a charming, homey thing that Martha Stewart tried to ruin. And I, honest to God, don't like any of it. but...
12th hour reveal.
Oh my God. The whole time I was like drumming up research on this, I was just like, God, I really don't like looking at these pieces.
The benefits of an audio format. We don't have to make our listeners look at them.
Yeah. You don't have to see it if you don't want to. But no, I understand the appeal. I just don't share it. I'm just not like a homey, folksy person. What the fuck are you looking at me like that for? Audio format. He's looking at me funny. Listeners, he is looking at me strangely.
It's just, I remember the tile pattern in your old house with the rooster.
All right, I'm not an American folksy person. How about that?
It is folksy art you made in America.
It is Portuguese in design and origin of manufacture and reason for doing. You know, the Americans are well known for their red clay pottery mosaics of roosters, yeah?
I mean, probably.
They are not. Don't you take that from us. We have so little.
You have whaling.
We do have whaling.
And mountains.
We have those, yeah.
Volcanoes?
Yep, several.
And one village with Viking runes and a lot of blonde people.
Sure do. Thanks, Denmark.
And that one king that made everyone kiss the hand of his dead queen.
Oh my God.
Out of spite.
Yeah, please look up that story.
Hey, Portugal.
Actually, I should just link to it on the Antiques Freaks Friends page.
Fuck yeah.
Do you have any questions? Anything? Do you want to know where to get these?
Sure.
Anywhere. when I said ubiquitous, I meant it. one of the, like, again, like many of my other favorite pieces, one of the cool things is that these do exhibit like a range of value. So you can get like cheap bowls and plates and utilitarian pieces, you know, $10 to $50 in that range, depending on complexity. And of course, this is more for spongeware than spatterware. Spatterware does start rocketing into the hundreds pretty quickly.
Ooh.
Because it was manufactured for such a much shorter period of time. And because it exhibits more of a handcrafted uniqueness than the spongeware, the central motifs and everything. But, you know, maybe several hundred dollars isn't a lot for you.
If so, please donate to our Patreon.
Yeah, consider. And, you know, like everything in antiques, you take a look at it and maybe, hey, who knows? You'll find it at the next tag sale.
Hey.
For $5. So keep an eye out. Keep a weather eye. I guarantee any antique store you go to is going to have at least one.
Dang.
Yeah. I actually own spongeware. I don't even like it. But stoneware is so reliable as a pottery that it is like my favorite thing to buy for mixing bowls. And I prefer yellowware. But I needed a specific size, so.
Right on. Sources?
Sources include Covells.com, their article on spatterware. AntiqueTrader.com, article, spongeware satisfies need for decorative and durable wares. MarthaStewart.com, much to my chagrin, spongeware and spatterware. It's a video. And HobbyLark.com, antique spongeware and spatterware, an American stoneware tradition. Which is bold because it's English.
If you would like to talk more about spatterware, spongeware, or just want to say hey, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to castigate me for saying I don't like cutesy, rustic, home, folksy stuff, don't.
Or hit up our Facebook page at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you're there, you can join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, where we will be posting that gruesome story from Portugal.
Yeah, we will.
If you would like to pick up some vintage goods of your own, you can check out our Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks. Where we have soon razor blades.
Soon razor blades. And Polly Pocket.
Ooh. Retro.
So retro. If you like what you've heard here today, and you think other people should have it going in and out of their ears, consider scrolling on down to wherever you're listening to this and leaving us a review. Any review would be good. I personally have always been a big fan of the 5-star reviews. They just make me feel special. But truthfully, you give us a 1-star, it still helps.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you are there, you can join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
It's a surprise. Every day. Month.
One day of the month, it's one a surprise. One day of
the
month,
it's a surprise. It's like those cool toys that the kids buy with the... It's like a surprise. It's like a LOL surprise doll, but it's a postcard.
Are you talking about just the concept of blind boxes?
I am talking about the concept of blind boxes, yes.
Have we accidentally created a subscription blind box for vintage postcards?
It kind of feels like we did.
Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
Thank you so much.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Bye.